After Jesus was raised, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what appeared to be tongues of fire that rested on each and every one of them. They separated and they came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them, the disciples that is, speaking in his or her own language. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Are not all of these men Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism alike, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "Ah, they've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old will dream dreams. On even servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May God add a blessing upon the word for us today, upon our hearing and receiving it in our hearts. This week I heard an interview by a man named Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's, if you haven't heard of him, he is a physicist, an African-American physicist, well-known, popular. He's been on TV in many interviews. He redid the old Carl Sagan series from the 70s called Cosmos. And he had an interview with Larry King, and I greatly respect him. I listen to him. But he has a little thing about religion and God. And so Larry King asked him about the afterlife. "What are your thoughts on the afterlife?" And he gave his opinion about energy dissipating into the rest of the environment, whether you were buried or cremated or whatever. And I got to be honest, I kind of said to myself, well, that's really not all that insightful. Not to me. Was it helpful? Maybe just a little bit. And Larry King commented on it, and people were impressed. And it seems to me that he could have just said, "I don't really know." And maybe he was trying to come up with an answer. He felt like he needed to have an answer to that question. And as a scientist, people are looking to scientists in our day and age for answers. It's almost become a religion of sorts. Scientists so-and-so from Yale or Harvard or in Oxford have said this and this, and so it must be true. And most of the time, they're speaking to their area of expertise, and so we should probably take that to heart. And as I thought about this a little bit more this week, I think that we have come to a place in our society where there are sort of two poles of thought. And on the one pole, I'm going to move to my left because this is the left brain pole. This is where we are today and moving towards, I believe, slowly in our processes. A world of analytics and statistics and science and verifiable fact. A world where there are yes and no answers, where there's black and white, where things can be explained. And over here, we have the right brain pole, right? Here we have creativity and inspiration and art. Here we have passion. Here we have mystery. Here we have what we think to be spirituality. Why do we think this? Well, because today in society we have so often pitted science against religion, science versus religion, science versus spirituality, the Bible versus science, right? Never the two shall meet. But this is a modern day thought process. It didn't used to be like that. The study of theology used to be a high science in school. But we're drifting apart. We see the things of the spirit as belonging over here because we watch TV and Benny Hinn is hitting people over the head, slaying them by the spirit, right? People are speaking in tongues and we, in our tradition, we wonder, what is that? That's mysterious. That's creepy even. That's weird. So we hear about the Holy Spirit and we kind of dismiss it a little bit because we don't understand it as much. We understand the concept of God and Jesus that was a human being. We can relate to that, but the spirit is a little bit more mystifying. We can't sort of draw lines around what the spirit is and means and does. In the book, in the movie The Shack, many of you have maybe seen it, maybe you've read the book. It came out about 8-10 years ago. It's big on the Trinity, and they have characters that represent the Trinity of God. And God is an African-American woman, and the main character has a sort of parent-child relationship with her. Jesus is a Middle Eastern man, and he has a friend kind of relationship with him. The Spirit is Sarayu, a sort of weird name. And she sort of appears not quite defined. And she's a little bit ghostly. And she's oriental. And he doesn't know and understand her as much. She's busy gardening in the backyard. So the things of the spirit we miss out on because we label it mysterious, out of hand, and we become much more Jesus, God. But in actual reality, the Spirit is about both of these things. The Spirit makes possible bringing both of these ideas and poles of thought that are thought to be opposite together. And it's in our scriptures. It's in our scriptures. The Spirit didn't make the disciples that day start speaking in tongues that people didn't understand. No. The people from all over the place, Rome and Persia, way out in the east and way out in the west in Rome, understood them perfectly. How do you learn languages? Study. How Jesus said in his farewell discourse, the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, he talked a lot about the Spirit and how he would send a comforter, a counselor, somebody that would teach you the things that you're not ready for yet, that I could not teach you now. The Spirit brings wisdom, brings knowledge together with the heart, with passion, with verve, with creativity, merges it together. Don't let people hijack the Holy Spirit from our mainline tradition. United Church of Christ, United Methodist, whatever it is labeled, it is for all of us. All of it is valid. Your experiences with God are all valid. These people that left from Jerusalem after Pentecost was over, spoke in different languages, with different words, back to their cultures where they assimilated, where the Spirit assimilated with the people and inspired the people from their own cultures. Around the world today, there are Christians that worship in very different ways. In Palestine, yes, there's Palestinian Christians. In Ethiopia, the Coptic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church. Yes, in the so-called Holy Roller Churches that might make us feel uncomfortable. They have as much claim on the Holy Spirit that we have. I've been fortunate in my life to have had many different experiences of church and many different experiences in prayer meetings, many different experiences with God. I was raised in United Methodist Church, a church that is not much unlike our church here today, so I kind of came full circle around. I was baptized. I went through confirmation. At the age of 10 at summer camp, I came home and told my mom that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that wasn't something that was in our language. That wasn't something that was in our tradition as much. And I felt an experience that I could not really explain when we were all around praying at that summer camp. I went away to college and I became involved in campus groups that were very evangelical. Okay? Unlike our tradition. And there was people speaking in tongues. I can't explain it. I went to seminary later in life. And there were some of the smartest people I knew. One professor who was going to be a dentist, got cancer at an early age, and she went to a church she'd never been to before. And yeah, it was one of those Holy Roller churches, and they prayed over her. And she says her cancer left her. I can't explain it. She can't explain it. She is a learned, studied person. Another fellow student, probably the smartest in our class, said that he encountered God through a light in a window, and it changed his life. Another fellow student who was a doctor, a learned person, somebody who studied a lot on this hand, said that Jesus walked into his room one night and his life was changed forever. Mind, spirit coming together, forming something that is not possible without the Holy Spirit in our lives. Accept the Holy Spirit. Empty yourself out of selfish things, of your own things, of things that are petty and small, so that it can be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Create that vacuum in your life. God will fill it. Ask God into your heart. Ask God for the Holy Spirit in your life. Each and every one of us here today have a different experience of God, a different experience with the Spirit of God. It is all valid. It is all valid. The Holy Spirit speaks in many diverse ways. And that's by design. It's by design. It is only possible that we are meeting here today under one roof and can pray together in the name of Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle in of itself. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let God breathe on you and in you. Let the Holy Spirit live out of you, friends. Amen.